superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Let's have a little fun with Matt Ryan before we send him on into his Atlanta day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So what's your favorite sports movie, Matt?
Oh, man.
I've got a suggestion for you, Matt.
Download and podcast at richeisenshow.com.
Did you ever see this?
It's got to be The Natural, right?
Earlier on the show, Lions head coach Matt Patricia. Still to come. Pro Football Hall of Famer Terrell Davis. From the Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud. From Peacock's AP Bio. Actor Glenn Howerton, plus NASCAR Cup Series driver Kevin Harvick. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial if you want to talk about anything on your mind in the sports world, whether it was last night's Game 7, the Rockets win over the Oklahoma City Thunder to set up a Rockets-Lakers series.
That's going to be fun.
I would have signed for that as the Western Conference semifinal before the season.
Yeah, I think so.
I would have done that. And then obviously the Nuggets and the Clippers, they get started tonight. That'll be something to watch. If you want to talk about that or the call that I thought that was dreadful, that went against Giannis and the Bucks and in the favor of the Miami Heat that would deserve to be up 2-0. They've played excellent basketball. You want to talk about that? Stay on hold or call in at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. The acquisition of Leonard Fournette. We'll hit on that coming up in the middle of this hour. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, part of Chris Brockman's news update that will also include the, you know, as you know, I say sticks of sports is dead. It sure seems like gambling in sports shouldn't go to, or gambling in sports leagues are won't go together. It sounds like that's dead. That sounds like that's dead.
Oh, baby.
And certainly in the city of Chicago, we'll hit on that in this hour. And it's starting off this hour, though, is my Pro Football Hall of Fame friend joining us by way of our his company, Defy, which we always like to talk about when he calls in. Number 30 in your program, number one in your heart. And I'm not talking about Philip Lindsay. I'm talking about Terrell Davis. How are you, TD?
What's going on, man? Good morning.
How's life?
Life is good. Life's good. I can't complain. I can't.
Kids online learning? Kids online learning in the Davis household?
Yeah, well, they start up, what's today? They start Tuesday. They start next Tuesday. So they get everything wrapped up, and we'll be back at home being teachers and parents and counselors. And,
okay, yep.
You know, and judges and you know, all that stuff.
How's the iPad time in the house? How's that working, TD?
Oh, you know, all rules have been thrown out, man. All the rules have been thrown out. Like it's been ridiculous. You know, we had this rule about, you know, an hour a day, please. I mean, it went from an hour a day to like, you know what, man, just take it because just have it.
Have you tapped out? Have you tapped the helmet?
Tapped out, man. Tapped out, had to, bro. Hey, it's either that or it's like you have a choice, man. To keep your sanity, right?
Yes.
Keep your sanity, or you just got to tap out. And so the fight, just, you know, we fought the good fight. Is what we fought the good fight.
So hold on a second. Are you saying your kids again? I think we have the kids of the same age, although yours might be a little younger. So how old are your kids?
Yeah, 9, 7, and 5.
Okay, So basically, in terms of iPad time and your rules of screen time in the Davis household, you and your lovely wife decided you got around, you stuck in there right around midfield, and then you just started running the ball and punted. That's basically what you did. Three and out, right around midfield. You stalled out and you punted.
As a matter of fact, we would punt on third down sometimes. We didn't want to get the fourth down. We'd do a quick kick. There we go. Bam.
Oh, man. All right, TD, let's talk a little bit of ball. I am high on your Broncos, man. I'm very high on them. No, I'm serious. I'm not just saying that for you because you're here and I know what it, but I kind of dig the way Drew Lock finished. I like it. I like the addition of Melvin Gordon. That Jerry Jeudy dropped to them and they just jumped on it for a good reason, jumped on that kid from Alabama. I like the receivers the way they were coming along. If I'm not mistaken, a particular Wolverine at tight end is finally healthy in Jake Booty, who was dynamite. So you got a little. Hey, don't laugh. Don't laugh,
that's
man.
Buddy, man.
There he is. Come on, I got to throw it out there. Defensively, I think Fangio's got them all buying in year two. What do you? Am I onto something here, or am I?
I like your analysis, man. I like your observations. Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement in Denver. You know, talking to people there, and you talked about it. Just to see a quarterback that they really feel like this is the one. You know, for many years since I guess Peyton Manning. You know, Denver's been trying to find that signal caller, trying to find that the guy who occupies the most important position in the sport. And it's been a turnstile since. And so what we saw last year with, you know, Drew Lock coming in the last five games, and he went 4-1 down the stretch and just really got people excited, you know, not only from just the standpoint of, you know, going 4-1, but, you know, this just the swag that he has, the kind of you know, football IQ. I mean, the man at Missouri, he had like a different coordinator every year, so he's got a real good football IQ. Guys love him; they like being around him. He's got that you know, infectious personality. He's got that it factor. You know, when he comes on the field, you feel like you got a chance to win, and that's important for a quarterback to have that. So. Yeah, I mean, so that's one. And then you talked about the weapons they surrounded him with. You know, Courtland Sutton was already there, but you bring in a Jerry Jeudy, a KJ Hamler, and, you know, you get Alvaro, and you still got Noah Fant and your boy Jake Booty, as you call him, from Michigan. And if he can, I mean, if he obviously can stay healthy, I think that's the key there. And then Freeman and, you know, you obviously got Lindsey and Gordon.
I know they got Fant, too, who suddenly, you know, was dynamic when Drew Lock started. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
That's so are they my sleeper team for 2020? Because that's where I've been leaning, TD.
They could be, man. I'm not speaking from the homer's position here. I think legitimately when you talk about the defense, when they got Jarrell Casey from Tennessee and, you know, he's got a point to prove. Shelby Harris, they re-signed him. And, you know, you got Von Miller. And remember, this whole or last year, you know, Bradley Chubb missed significant time. He wasn't even there. This is the second year in the system. And you hear that from a lot of players. They talk about how complex Vic Fangio's defense is. And so to be able to go through it for a second time. Now I know they didn't have the offseason or, you know, regular mini camps and OTAs, but still, just to be in that system for a second time, I think these guys are going to be great. I mean, and then Bryce Callahan, he didn't play last year. You know, he came over with Vic Fangio. And then Kareem Jackson, man, one of the best, you know, we got probably one of the best safety tandems in the game. And I say weak, but Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons. So, you know, A.J. Bouye. So I just think from all the things that I'm seeing, the pieces that are in place, the confidence of this young team, yes, I think they can definitely be a sleeper team, and I'm picking them to. I mean, Kansas City is going to be hard to knock off.
I was about to say. Unfortunately, Kansas City appears to be able to make a run. It's difficult to say that the one that the Patriots just had, because you're talking about 20 years of a coach and quarterback hooked at the hip, and the AFC West, I think, is much tougher. And we'll have a lot more continuity within it than the AFC East did in the 20 years of the Brady Belichick rule. But it sure looks like the Chiefs are set up for a nice long run here, TD, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just look at it. I mean, their foundational pieces are pretty young. I mean, Kelsey's in his like eighth year, I believe. But other than that, you have a young quarterback. It's already proven. It's already achieved and accomplished so much in his young career. The weapons that they have around him, it's just like one of those things where you say, what could derail this team? And typically, I'd say a few things. One is if they had a rash of injuries. That's the one thing we could never project or predict, having injuries. I think the second thing would be if they were to start looking back at 2019, and it's always about, okay, when we take the field, we're going to win, and you know, because we've always won. And that you have to stay in the now. They can get their minds into the now and plan 2020 as if they didn't win a championship. They have to maintain that hunger. You know, and or you might have a team that just matches up with them. Remember, I don't know if you remember early in the season last year where they played Detroit and then they played Indy, and they couldn't beat man coverage, and they struggled a little bit during that little stretch during the season. Everybody thought, well, the way you beat Kansas City is you have to, you know, defend them with man coverage. Well, they figured it out. But unlike basketball or baseball, in the postseason, it's a one-game series. So if somebody gives you problems in a one-game series, you don't have time to, you know, make those corrections and then come back next week and try to, you know, correct it. So that's what makes football challenging to repeat. It's just once you hit the postseason, there is no series. It's one game, and that's if you don't bring your best that one game, you can go home.
Terrell Davis joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. How impactful is the Fournette signing in Tampa?
Man, it's ridiculous. It looks like it's starting to look like a Pro Bowl roster.
Like
it's looking ridiculous. Like, wait a minute, how are they getting all these players? They've already had most of them, but they bring in LeSean McCoy. You now get Leonard Fournette, and you get Tom Brady on your squad. And you know, now it's still, we've seen before where you have these rosters, and I believe one time, if I'm not mistaken, it was quarterback who said that man, we have this, who was that?
Vince Young.
It was the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, it was backup quarterback.
It was Vince Young who said dream
Vince
team.
Young,
but I mean,
right. Vince Young, he declared their team to have like this, you know, this roster, and it was a good roster at the time. But we know in football, it really is about chemistry, right? It's about all these pieces working together. And then you got to make sure you keep people happy. Everybody has to know their role. And the question would be, once they start to go through the season, whether it has success or not, are these players happy with their role? And only time would tell. But, you know, if you're, you know, Mike Evans, he's used to getting the ball a lot. If you're Chris Godwin, you're used to getting the ball a lot. Well, if that changes, how would that affect them?
You're trying to sow some doubt here. I think TB12 and Bruce Arians will handle that. Yeah, I just don't see.
I'm sure.
No, look, you would know obviously better than I would about how.
Right now, is this team the Bucs? Right now, your Super Bowl favorite? Like you put them in a Super Bowl?
TD, it's going to be tough not to. I'm going to be honest with you, man. It's going to be tough not to just jump head first. I don't see an NFC East team being better. I don't see.
Wait a minute. I mean, in their own division, though,
I get it. No, I know. And I know.
You have the Falcons, who look like they are going to be like they're not going to stand quietly and say, "Oh, we're going to take."
No,
we're
I
going
know.
To take. Yeah, they're not going to just bow to the Bucks.
I know, but I totally understand your 2011 Eagles dream team analogy. I totally understand that when you amass they were coming off a lockout. I remember that. That's when Vince Young said dream team. Yeah, we're back in dream team. Yeah. And I was like, "Hold on a minute." But we're not talking about, you know, Vince Young isn't the TB12 isn't the Vince Young quarterback that got acquired, and you know, right. Gronk isn't the Nnamdi Asomugha. You know what I mean? Like this is significant in terms of the additional talent. And I think Arians is going to, he knows, I mean, he's been there, he's done that. I just, it's tough not to think and just jump head first and go all in on this thing right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not fighting you on it.
It sounds like you are. I'll be honest with you. It sounds like it. Literally, here, TD, just treat me like I want a third hour of an iPad and just move on.
I know. Pun there you go. You got it, man.
No, it's okay. It's all right. Terrell Davis here on the Rich Eisen Show. How's your business going? What's going on with your business?
Yeah, it's doing well, man. We've been, my company is Defy, co-founder of Defy, and, you know, go to drinkdefy.com. And, yeah, we've been at it for over 2-3 years now. And so, yeah, we're still moving, man. We launched our Defy Zero months ago, which is pretty awesome. But for those of you who don't know what it is, it's a performance drink. It has CBD in it. It has no THC, electrolytes, coconut water, and B vitamins, all the good things you need to allow you to be able to perform, you know, maintain and recover. So, and you don't have to be an athlete to do it. You can be somebody that's a weekend warrior who just wants to feel better. But it certainly has helped me out a lot. And I'm constantly using our products. We also have a tincture, which is the oil, and we have a muscle balm. So we just, Rich, my love is just to be able to help somebody feel better and to be active in their lives and be able to work out without pain and swelling and be able to be the best that they can be. And so with saying that, we have products that can help you, you know, obtain those goals. So please visit us at, again, drinkdefy.com. And it's been good, man.
How do you like business? How do you like being a CEO? How do you like that? A co-founder?
I like it. It's good. It's like you, man. You're the CEO. Look at you running your own show, man. So it's like that. You know that feeling you get every morning when you wake up and you go off to and it's not even work. It's like you go off to. I mean, number one, I don't go into an office or anything.
No,
like
no.
That,
I don't think anybody really does anymore these days, unfortunately.
Right. Even when we were going to the offices, I wasn't going into an office.
Oh. But, okay. Yeah. Wow. Look at you.
I was already ahead of this, man. I already seen this coming.
You saw. I see. Okay.
I already seen the home yeah. Office.
Well, it's all hands on deck. We established that to begin this conversation. It's all hands on deck in your household right now.
Oh my God.
So, who's your Super Bowl pick? Who's yours?
Yeah, I haven't picked one yet. I know we did the thing for the network. They sent out the supposed to.
I know.
All the
I know.
Players of the year. Yeah.
I know. I got that too. Terrell Davis. You know what I did? I just fired it right back. I came up with my answers and I fired it right back.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So who's?
Well, I didn't. But
you did not. Okay. So let's work. Let's workshop it.
But here's what I would say. I'm leaning toward these two teams being in the big dance.
Okay.
And it's New Orleans and Kansas City.
Mm.
Those are the two that I'm feeling good. Actually, last year I had Minnesota playing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Of course, Vikings didn't live up to their part, but Chiefs did. And I just think Kansas City is just going to be too hard. That's going to be tough. AFC and
yep.
Yeah,
I hear
the Saints. I think the Saints will do.
Why? Brees' last dance?
Yeah, I think this is the last dance for Drew Brees. I think this is it. My man has never gotten a Player of the Year award or MVP. I think this is the year he gets that. He finally walked away with another ring. And, you know, the Saints just look like, you know, defensively they're pretty good up front. And they balance well with that offense. And they'll, you know, that offense is 30-something points. They'll probably be number one or two scoring offense. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those gut feelings that, and listen, nobody knows anything at this point. We haven't seen anybody.
That's right. I know.
Crazy.
I know.
So,
I hear you.
But, yeah, but you know what? I'm going to stay with that. That's going to be my pick for the rest
there
of the year.
There you go.
I'm not going to change like you guys do, Rick. You guys change on the show every week.
We actually were allowed a mulligan. Excuse me, we're allowed a mulligan on our Thanksgiving show. On our Thanksgiving show, we're allowed mulligans. And last year, I didn't take it. Last year, I didn't take it. I stuck with my preseason pick. Of I took Patriots versus I stuck with Ravens versus I changed. You're right.
I'm just
exactly. I thought you had San Francisco.
How dare you make me change? Try and remember something a year ago. It feels like a decade ago. You know, it feels like a decade ago. No, I know we do.
It proves my point is this.
Right.
Listen, we're talking about Super Bowl in the beginning of September, and even we were talking about this in like July, and it's like, all right, it made some sense when you can see a team practice, you can kind of see them go through preseason games.
Yep.
I mean, even then, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But you know what? For entertainment values, I'll give you a team. But I'm going to stick with mine. I'm not changing. I'm going KC and New Orleans.
All right.
There it is right there.
TD.
Write that down.
Okay, write it down. KC and New Orleans. Very, very, very thick limb that Terrell Davis went out on right there.
The number one and number three betting favorites. Great job, Terrell.
Well, let's just say he only puts the defy in his business. Let's just put it that way. All right, TD, you take care of yourself.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's it. This TD, everyone. @Terrell_Davis on Twitter, @TheRealTerrellDavis on Instagram. Love that guy. Okay. When we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Chris Brockman's news update. Lots going on in the world. Unbelievable news out of Chicago with what's happening at Wrigley Field. Wild. I'll tell you one thing as a little teaser. If I'm Pete Rose, I am pissed off. Hey, folks, how exciting is this? The football season is finally upon us. And this season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. I have Game Pass from the National Football League every year, and it is a perfect way for me to do my job and also just be a fan. It is amazing. When I say every single part of the football world that you can handle all in one place, it is true. And NFL Game Pass, again, is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. How cool is that? Go to NFL.com/Game Pass. To start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times will be joining us shortly. And then your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. It was a fun chat with Terrell Davis joining us in our third hour. Glenn Howerton, who a lot of folks know from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, now with AP Bio, one of those TV shows that had a beloved audience and the beloved audience saved the show from cancellation. And Peacock raised their hand and said, "We'll take him." Are we the AP Bio of sports quadcasts?
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
So,
what AP classes did you take in high school? Do you remember?
Definitely not history, I think.
Yeah, I did. I took history.
Bio ain't me, man.
No,
I was not the green wedge in Trivial Pursuit. Never. I could never get that science wedge. Not very good. I'm more verbal than math, sir.
Yep.
More verbal than math, and then we also have to get to our poll question as well.
Oh. Still going.
Kevin Harvick will be joining the program later on as well, as he has won every race under the sun, correct? 7 races. My God. Sunday's cookout, Southern 500 at Darlington, will be seen on NBCSN, just like us, in about 5 seconds. We're back in a moment. Okay, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Brockman, let's start off this segment right here in the middle of our show, second hour, with a Chris Brockman news update. Go for it, please.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Chris, what do you have for
me?
Okay,
so the big news down in South Florida, the Bucks are giving Leonard Fournette a one-year deal. It does have a max value of $3.5 million, according to Ian Rappaport. He'll get $2 million in base, and he can get incentives based on rush yards and playing time. So no offsets with his Jaguars deal. He could double-dip if he does win his grievance against the Jaguars. Bruce Arians did say, been a lot of praise for Ronald Jones during training camp. He is going to still be the starting running back and indicated that LeSean McCoy will also still have a spot on the roster, adding when you can get a player of Fournette's caliber. I have great reviews from people I know and have coached him. He will fit right in and we'll see what happens.
All right, let's go straight to boots on the ground. As promised, Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. So how does this all work? It's like they might as well hand out pineapple and Lay's like it's the Pro Bowl, Rick.
Well, is it Sheriff Brody said or Sheriff Brady? I think we need a bigger boat.
That's right.
You know, this is just one guy after another, right? And this is the effect that Tom Brady has had, I think, on this organization and guys wanting to play here. And Leonard Fournette had some, you know, some choices. New England, I think, was interested. I've heard Kansas City. But he comes here and, you know, he's just another piece of this very large puzzle they're trying to put together down in Tampa. And I know, you know, we talked to Bruce Arians and he did say that the Ronald Jones is still, you know, it's still his job, but it's his job today. Right. So, I think once, you know, once Fournette gets here and, you know, gets into the playbook and has an opportunity to, you know, to catch up, it's going to be a, you know, a weekly competition, but, they're loading up. There's no doubt about it. And I think, you know, they don't buy green bananas down here, Rich. I think they're ready to play right away.
Hey, man, because the time is ripe. You know, with Brady at age 43, a run game would protect him, and Fournette is tremendous at pass protection. He is excellent at that, and that's the thing about hearing that it's still Ronald Jones's job. I mean, Fournette is really a three down back. Rick, I mean, so what about Jones? How do you see that working, best you can figure?
Look, I think Ronald Jones has a lot of talent. You know, pass protection has not been one of them. And you're right. I mean, you know, the first thing you have to do if you're going to bring in Tom Brady is make sure that he's clean and not give guys a free run. And I've seen some of those in practice that Ronald Jones has missed. He missed one last year and got benched, you know, after just one play. And so, you know, Bruce Arians can't tolerate that. I'm not saying, you know, Fournette is there just for that purpose, but, you know, Fournette has done it. And Ronald Jones is still an ascending player. And so I think they like what he has done in the offseason, Jones, I mean. He's not a natural pass catcher, but he's worked hard on doing that, on running routes. He's had one or two bad days out there, but for the most part, he's been okay. I just think they just want to add depth to that position and continue to, you know, to make sure that Tom has everything. And you mentioned it, you know, when you can run the football, right? When you can make defenses have to make a choice about, you know, how they're going to load the box, you can create those matchups. And they're going to go with a lot of two tight ends this year, that 12 personnel with Rob Gronkowski and O.J. Howard. That's going to make it really difficult for some defenses.
Rick Stroud, a couple more minutes left with the Tampa Bay Times Bucs reporter here on the Rich Eisen Show. I mean, Brady must be out of his skull. He really must, because, I mean, even in the 20 years that he was there and the great organization that he was in and had the hoodie, the goat, you know, making sure that everyone was, quote unquote, doing their job. He was making a lot of chicken salad, to use the phrase. I mean, and, you know, he definitely had some difference-making players, and one of them is someone who the Bucs brought in Gronk. And then he's got Evans and Godwin. He's got now Fournette with Ronald Jones, and let's not forget LeSean McCoy. Easily the best roster he's ever quarterbacked in his 20 years. And he's – so and, you know, I'm sure he can take Aaron saying that he and 10 others were reading their newspaper clippings in a bad practice, as Aaron's called them out on. He just must be thrilled, Rick. What's he been like to be around or see or question?
Well, it's been fascinating. I think he's all those things, Rich. I think he's nervous too. You know, don't forget what he's trying to do. And yeah, he's here to win. I mean, that's all he's about at this point. It's all he's ever been about, really. But, you know, he also, you know, he addressed the team early on and said, hey, you know, we didn't have an off season. And, you know, he had guys at the Berkeley Prep High School and all of that. He said, you know, you can't take a rep off. You can't take a period off. You can't take a practice off. And they did. The one you referenced, they got their butts kicked. And he wasn't good that day. And so, you know, they're going to go to New Orleans. They're going to play a team with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. They've been together 215 games, right? And this is game one for Byron Leftwich, for Tom Brady, for B.A. But he's played so much football, and he has so much knowledge that he's made everybody better. He makes you better when you walk into the building, right? And the B.A. and them have said this. You know, the guy that cooks the food has to be better. Every guy washes the clothes. They all got to be better. And I think he's done what they wanted. He's raised the standard, the precision in practice, all of that. And he's having fun. It's going to be a process. I think they'll be better later in the year when all these guys get to gel a little bit. But this is a very good football team. It was a good football team last year. They just turned the ball over too much. And you're right. Brady's here because he knows he has weapons, and he's got them everywhere he looks.
Rick, appreciate the time. We'll get you on as often as you're willing to join, because this is one of the 2020 teams that we'll be focused on. This is it. The Bucks are back, man.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. You know that. Happy to be with you, and we'll follow this ride wherever it goes. Thanks, Rich.
You better. Thanks for the call. That's Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times right here. What'd you think about him saying Brady's nervous, too? How about that one?
I buy all of that. I mean, just think about what's at stake here and what he is trying to do, and in a different location with new players and new people all around him. I imagine they're all kind of nervous.
They're out there, though, man.
That team's good.
Who's the one guy that would have put them over the top last year, right, if he was around offensively? Who's the one guy that you were saying all year long, if he was there, it would be totally different offensively?
Rob Gronkowski.
Who's there for him this year?
87.
And two Pro Bowl wide receivers. Two. Not one, two.
You know.
And
they did not have
Fournette and LeSean McCoy, who, you say what you will, I mean, he's been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. And the coach.
And Ronald Jones. And the coach. And defensively, Sue, Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett. That's just up front.
Yeah, they're stacked. I mean,
and Todd Bowles coordinating it.
They're in a really hard division, which the Patriots have not been in for a very long time.
That's true.
Oh, baby.
Oh, I can't wait for New Orleans to come back.
That's a good point. Hey, this is game one for them.
Yeah.
Game 215 for Breeze and Sean Payton.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What else you got over there?
A few other things. Down in Miami, staying in Florida. So two is healthy. Now the Dolphins are trying to field some trade inquiries for Josh Rosen, per sources for Adam Schefter.
You saw this one coming a mile away.
Yeah. That's such a bummer. He's such a great kid. Has shown that he can be a good player. Just really hasn't gotten a chance or the consistency to get it going. So hopefully he lands on his feet.
You know where I hope he winds up? And I know that they have Brissett, but maybe Indianapolis. Coach won't go anywhere. GM won't go anywhere. Phillip's not going to be there for long. That wouldn't be a bad spot for him.
That's a good spot. Somewhere.
I don't know how how they view Brissett. But you also saw me yesterday saying Fournette, great play for Pittsburgh. You saw how that worked out. He's now in Tampa.
Two other signees. The Titans signed former Pats kicker Steven Gostkowski.
Oh, there's your New England connection there.
And the Seahawks have brought back Josh Gordon.
Yeah. Josh Gordon.
So he has applied for reinstatement back in mid-June when he was suspended. And a source told ESPN that his reinstatement process is going well.
Okay. The king of South Florida, David Cantor, his agent. Hey, man. I mean, how many times have we come here and talked about how Josh Gordon can do this or that, stay clean? I have no earthly idea.
Yeah,
but Lockett, Gordon, and DK Metcalf, who new tight end Greg Olsen referred to having Calvin Johnson type physical abilities.
That raised some ears.
For Russell Wilson, seems like there'll be less third and eights for him.
For Russell's sake, I hope so. Mm-hmm. And lastly, I know you saw this morning, some baseball news. They're going to put in a sports book at Wrigley Field. What? So DraftKings has teamed up with the Cubs, and they announced a multi-year partnership that includes plans to put a sports book at Wrigley Field or in the Wrigleyville area that is outside the ballpark, that redone concourse they've put out there. Cubs becoming the first Major League Baseball team to commit to opening a retail sports book on stadium premises.
Two thoughts. First, as I tweeted out this morning, if the Cubs do not name their sports book, Let's Parlay 2, They're not doing it right.
See what you did there.
Okay. Go to the ATMs, the Ernie Banks machine. I mean, we can keep going.
Harry Carey machine.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cash your tickets at the...
keep going.
The Bartman Center. Nice. Let's parlay too. I mean, that's it. That's what it should be called.
But this is the future.
That's
We're going to see this everywhere now.
Oh, number two.
What do you mean your seats?
Now, I know I'm conflating issues because it is on the wall of every clubhouse in Major League Baseball.
It's walk number into, one. It's like the first rule.
Walk
first
into any locker room in Major League sports, and it's there. Warning players. Anybody who works for a sports league, we have been told. In order for me even to walk into the NFL Network facility, I'm assuming this had to have happened. But I had to do for an 18th consecutive year pass with flying colors a gambling policy. You know,
questionnaire.
Yeah, online. I had to go view. Like I watched 20 minutes worth of videos,
yeah,
and I had
to. When I was there,
you know, I had to pass a couple of tests and stuff like that about understanding what I gleaned from it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one issue. That if you work for a sports league, or you play for a sports league, you cannot bet on sports, let alone said sports league. That said, what is Pete Rose thinking today that Wrigley Field says, let's take bets?
He's wishing he was in
now.
Stuff.
Now, do we know, did Ravel, because he's the one who broke it, right? Did he say, I haven't read his article.
Yeah,
did
I
he say,
that.
Are you allowed to bet on the Cubs in Wrigley Field? Will you be able to bet on that home team in Wrigley Field?
Great question.
Are they off the board?
Don't know.
I mean, because don't Vegas casinos when the Maloof brothers owned that casino in Vegas, didn't they? The Palms sportsbook couldn't take Kings bets, right?
Kings bets were off, yeah.
Or all Kings bets were like in Vegas, they would take UNLV games off, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I remember these in my past life.
So you couldn't go in.
No, so yeah. I'm saying, like, can you go in to Wrigley Field and say, I'm putting my money today on the Cubs?
But
Wrigley Field, is that fine?
Holding it like that, let's say you're in Yankee Stadium and they put one more eventually. I call Brockman in Yankee Stadium, gamble on, I could make him bet for me. So why would they even do that? Because someone else can place the bet.
What is Pete Rose thinking today?
He's going crazy.
That Major League Baseball will allow a franchise, not just any franchise, one of their world-famous franchises in their world-famous jewel of a stadium will say, come in, buy your peanuts and Cracker Jacks, and let's parlay too. Like, okay. Literally, that's what we're doing now.
So according to the article, if the Ricketts family, who owns the Cubs, of course, were to take a stake in the DraftKings sportsbook at Wrigley Field, MLB could place restrictions on which bets could be taken.
But if they're not going to get a piece of the action, then I'm going to wet their beak a little bit?
I was just going to say.
Is that what you're saying? Just rent here's the space? They're not even going to take rent?
I don't know.
I have lots of questions on behalf of Peter Edward Rose, right?
Oh, I think Pete Rose should demand an apology from Major League Baseball today.
No, but we're conflating issues. Like, you're not allowed to bet on your team, which he then agreed that that's what he did and signed away his right to never be reinstated. But that's the point. Can you forgive it and reinstate him? Now that you're allowing a sports book in a stadium, that's the point.
Outside the stadium. Yeah, it's not going to be. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was in the stadium.
They haven't decided yet.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's like,
wow,
that's not. It's crazy.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show, and we'll take your calls next segment. So if you're on hold, stay on hold here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com, GEICO.com. Back here on our streamer on Peacock. Next hour, two phone calls, Glenn Howerton and Kevin Harvick will be joining us from AP Bio and leading the NASCAR Cup Series. That's in our third hour, and our poll question will be unpacked shortly. The NBCSN crew will be rejoining us in a mere matter of moments. Same with the Rich Eisen Show radio network. Phone lines are lit. We will be taking your phone calls again at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're back in about 30 seconds, and I apologize, TJ Jefferson. I know you're the resident Met fan here. I didn't give you any run at all about Tom Seaver. So collect your thoughts. I'm about to turn to you.
Okay.
As well, I'm going to be heading up the 405 for the Dallas Cowboys show, the top 10 Cowboys reveal of all time. I'll give you more run on that.
I appreciate that.
Right, that's how we're running right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. Adam, our call screener, is a busy bee back there. Lots of folks calling in, so let's take your calls. 844-204-RICH. Starting off, let's go to the guest line, Mike Del Tufo. Our buddy Gus Ramsey, who I have been a friend of for quite some time, who was one of my best producers back in the day at SportsCenter and is now running the Dan Patrick School of Broadcasting at Full Sail University. And I want to how are you, Gussie? How you doing?
I'm good, Rich. How are you, pal?
I'm good. All right, I'll give you the floor on Seaver, brother. Go for it.
Yeah, so the story I love to tell is it's the summer of 87. I am 20 years old, home from college, and Tom Seaver has retired after finishing up his career at the Red Sox, and an injured knee avoided him from having to pitch against the Mets and baseball Armageddon in the 86 World Series. But that summer, the Mets pitching staff was in shambles, so they called him and asked him to make a comeback. And it just so happened that he and my dad had been acquaintances from living in Greenwich, Connecticut together, and they were doing a baseball memorabilia deal where my dad advertised in the trades that Seaver would sign. People mailed stuff into the post office boxes. Seaver would come to the house once in a while and sit and sign. Well, one day he shows up with a glove, and he announces, "The Mets want me to try to make a comeback, and I need someone to throw to." And my dad was 55 at the time and probably could have handled it, but being a dad, passed it off to his 20-year-old Tom Seaver loving kid. And I said, "Sure, Mr. Seaver, I'll catch you." So Tom sat there and signed for about an hour. And while he was doing that, I called my good buddy Bill Simmons, who lived in the next town over. I said, "Hey, Bill, in about an hour, Tom Seaver's going to be pitching to me in my front yard." And before I could hang up the phone, Bill was in my front yard. And we go out front, and Tom starts throwing. And I got my first baseman's glove because it's the biggest glove I had. And he's saying, "Here comes the fastball, here comes the slider," and all this stuff. And I was sitting there just freaking out because Tom Seaver was my idol. Anybody who grew up a Mets fan in that era, you never asked who's your favorite Met. You all asked, other than Tom Seaver, who's your favorite Met. Because everybody's favorite Met was Tom Seaver. So what I took from that experience, I ended up going over to his house three more times to catch him over there before he started to go into Shea Stadium and pitch. It gave me a great glimpse into how competitive he was in two ways. One, at that point in his career, he started throwing this lollipop curveball, kind of almost like an Aegis pitch. And Simmons is standing there. He's not swinging the bat. He's just giving Tom a strike zone. And after Tom throws a couple of those curveballs, Bill goes, "You know, I think I could hit that pitch." And Tom kind of looks at him cockeyed and goes, "Oh, really? Okay. You take in and you look for that pitch." And then proceeds to throw a fastball about 10 feet above his head. Just, you know, totally safe, but certainly enough to get the message across. He says, "That's what happens when you look for the curveball." And then at the same time that summer, Bill and I were playing a full season, 162 games of Micro League Baseball. I created the all-time Mets. He had the all-time Red Sox.
Of course Bill did.
And it was not a defensive-minded game. Like, it only really awarded you for your your offensive statistics. So at that point, 1987, Frank Tavares was the most offensively accomplished shortstop the Mets have had. So I'm going through my team to Tom in one of the sessions over at his house, and he says, well, why isn't Harrelson your shortstop? And so I explained the reasons. He goes, no, no, Harrelson's got to be your shortstop. And, of course, Harrelson was his shortstop.
Right.
And probably helped him win a lot of games. But Tom is a different – no, no, no. Harrelson has to be your shortstop. Well, Tom, you don't understand. It's a computer. Make Buddy your shortstop. So I made Buddy my shortstop. But it was just – it was – you know, he was 40, 41 at the time.
Right.
He ended up going down to Port St. Lucie to pitch a simulated game, and former Met great Barry Lyons went 6-for-6 off of him in that game. And Tom said, all right, that's it, I'm done. But he gave the jersey that he wore in the simulated game to his agent, who gave it to my dad, who gave it to me that year for Christmas. I still have it. You know, it's really hard to describe what that guy meant to Mets fans, because there aren't – how many franchises do you only have one? You know, that is so far above and everybody else. You could say that with Jordan and the Bulls. You can say that probably with Brady and the Patriots. You can't say that about the Yankees. You can't say that about the Cowboys, because they've had so many greats. The Mets, we have Tom Seaver. He put us on the map. He carried us for as long as he did. It took him way too freaking long to decide that they were going to put a statue of him out in front of the park.
Yep.
That's a separate story. But this was a big loss for a lot of people.
Gussie, I knew giving you the floor would be perfect for many, many reasons. You're a diehard Met fan, and you, my condolences on losing your idol in this regard. And I, you know, he's a top 10 New York sports athlete, period, all time. What he meant to Mets fans and so many people, and what he meant to the city. And then obviously coming back with the White Sox and Yankee Stadium, having his big moment for 300 and the way he did it. And then just, you know, the story, just one more time, Don Bowie, or EP, can you put up that photograph? So you're saying this is your driveway. You are the guy. You're the guy behind home plate wearing the number two tank top, and the guy with the bat.
Yeah,
the guy with
black the Zubas.
Then the guy with the bat is Bill Simmons. Like the Bill Simmons is standing there at the plate, and look at that ball just coming right in, and the Seaver with that follow through. Right, I mean that's the typical Seaver follow through. And so Simmons literally talked trash to Seaver after seeing a couple of his off speed pitches. That literally happened. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And the whole time standing behind Seaver is my dad, and the whole time Seaver is giving my dad this dialogue on the art of pitching and how you pitch to different quadrants. And we saw him again in 2007. I was producing the Hall of Fame inductions. I knew it was going to be my last one, so I had my dad fly in from California, and we went. And there's always a party in Cooperstown in the Hall of Fame the night before the ceremonies. And so there we are. I bring my dad into the Hall of Fame.
Yep, at the Onondaga Hotel, right? At that beautiful hotel in Cooperstown.
Yes.
Yep.
But the party's in the actual Hall of Fame.
Oh.
So we're with Tom Seaver and all these other 60 other living Hall of Famers in the Hall of Fame plaque room. And they're whose sections are better and whatever. And so we're talking to Tom, and the three of us, my dad and I and Tom, take a picture in front of his plaque. And afterwards, I called my wife and I said, hey, good news. I got our Christmas album picture this year. Bad news, you and the kids aren't in it.
You're the best, Gussie. Thanks for the call. You take care.
You bet. Great talking to you guys.
Be right back at you. That's Gus Ramsey, longtime friend and ESPN
story.
Producer. And now he runs DP's School of Broadcasting at Full Sail University down there in Central Florida, where the Bucks are amassing quite the team. That's fandom right there, man. That's fandom.
Awesome.
Look at that. And let me just point out right here, I'm getting goosebumps. You see
the dirt on his knee.
Yeah. Because his and also the dirt on his shin. Because the way he would follow through, his right leg would touch the mound every time. I mean, Tom Terrific, number 41. Right? TJ?
He's on the Mount Rushmore Met greats.
Well, I mean, and as Gus basically said, that very few franchises have one and then the rest of greatness. But there's only one all-time great.
I mean, obviously, he was a little before my time, but, you know, being someone who, like, dives into the history of the teams that I love, of course, you got to know him really early.
As I was pointing out, the tradition in New York City of clapping when there's two strikes that, you know, when I was a kid, it was Ron Guidry in his 78th season. Where he was amazing. I think his ERA was one and change that year for Guidry. And then Dwight Gooden clapping with two strikes. It started with a Seaver.
So wait, now you're saying clapping started in New York, and the guy who you guys like to disrespect and call the clapper, I would never do that.
No,
is
no, no.
Now in New York?
No. It's different type of clapping.
I'm just saying, yeah. Clap's a clap.
Winning clap.
Didn't Seaver strike out the last 10 batters of a game? Will you look that up? I don't think I'm exaggerating. Like, literally struck out the last guy in the sixth inning and then struck out the side in the seventh, eighth, and ninth to wrap up a game. I do believe that happened. Let's go back to the phone lines here on the Rich Eisen Show. Alan Dallas, you're a perfect guy to have chime in right here. What's up, Al?
You know, like, you and I are on the same age, so, you know, when you remember your fandom, you're a Met fan in 81, 82, and you're like, wait, Tom Seaver was on the Mets? How could they possibly have traded a guy like Tom Seaver? And then you find out, you know, it's like...
Well, the sports writer Dick Young ran him out of town.
Yeah.
Literally.
What a disaster. Yeah, what a disaster. I mean, that team is just... And what a shame. George Thomas Seaver. There's a great picture floating around of George Thomas Seaver and Joe Willie Namath having a catch in Shea Stadium. I don't know if you've seen it or put it up. Oh, it's great. I can send it over to Brockman, but it's all, you can Google it. It's all over the place. You can put it into the Google machine. It's an awesome picture. It's something that you'd want framed. You know, one of those deals.
Sure.
So Brockman, again, you know, you were talking about the Cubs and putting in the FanDuel sports ballers, whatever the heck they're doing.
DraftKings.
You aren't making this one error in judgment about Pete Rose. You know, he's not going to get an apology because they've never come out and said, and they probably won't say it until he's long gone, that you know that guy bet against his own team, right? You just know that.
Well, I mean, we could sense it, and Al, it was never proven that he bet against the Reds. You just know that anybody who knows a gambler who has a gambling problem, which clearly Pete Rose had, okay. You know.
Also known as a degenerate.
Well, I mean, that's your word. We're not, I mean.
Yeah, it's my word. It's not yours.
No, I know that. Anybody who knows an inveterate gambler knows that any edge, any particular way that they could make a dime or a buck to try and dig out of a hole, which you probably are in because you're gambling so much, it would be, it strains, and I got to run, but thanks for the call, Al. It strains credulity that he would never once bet against his team, okay? And thus, if you assume that, you'd have to assume he might manage in a manner that would make that bet pay off. That was never proven. You heard the kid, a guy from Staten Island, I think, who took his bet say that Pete did that. So I think, again, just to relitigate history, and a lot of people want to talk about it, and we will. We've got a whole top of the next hour segment open, and we'll clear the phone banks before Glenn Howerton of AP Bio and Kevin Harvick join us on the show. We want to talk about this issue, and we will. To relitigate everything, had Bart Giamatti not gotten Pete's signature on the document banning him for life and then passed away himself almost immediately, had Bart Giamatti still been commissioner and maybe somehow still alive today, it would be maybe incumbent on him if Bart came out and said, you know what, it's okay. Let's get Pete back in. He served enough. But once that happened and Faye Vincent was like, no shot. And then Bud Selig was like, no shot. And Rob Manfred, I mean, just it's like, what commissioner will feel the ability to basically say, you're back in, Pete? Well, maybe the commissioner who presides over a full-on open-door policy to gambling being done, if not on the premises, but right across the street of the premises of a Major League Baseball stadium. But I proffer to say Commissioner Manfred has quite a few other fish frying from a collective bargaining agreement next year and the possibility of having to bubble up in a month's time to get a COVID-19 ravaged season completed. What a story from Gussie, huh? Bill Simmons is taking a couple pitches from Seaver.
Smack talking like, come on, Bill.
844-204-RICH. Your phone calls coming up in our third hour of the program.
COVID-19.
Spreading rampantly throughout the world.
Almost 1 million deaths.
African Americans.
Hit harder than others.
The double whammy.
I'm J.J. Green. I'm black.
I'm Chris Kohr. I'm white.
Join us on Colors, our new podcast.
As Dr. Anthony Fauci gives us some straight talk about race, risks, and vaccines.
On Colors, episode 12.
Subscribe to Colors on Apple, Spotify, Podcast One, or wherever you get your podcasts.